I grant you I'm well-read, I do know a lot, but I don't know everything. And I'm going to have, I guess, some Democrat call me and explain to our audience, we got a call coming in right now, maybe this is the answer to what I'm looking for. The illegal aliens are going to have voter information meetings. Now, I hope that call, bring it up, live on the air. Okay. Caller, name and town.
Hi, James. This is Greg from Kerrville.
Hi, Greg. Talk to us.
How you doing today?
Good.
Well, let's see. I don't know. There's quite a few things I disagree with you on. I'm not even sure where to start here.
Well, help me on this point, and then you go down your list, and it's perfectly okay.
No problem, James.
Why are we having voter information meetings for illegal aliens? Explain that to me.
That's a good one. You got me on that.
Well, okay, then.
I have no idea what an illegal alien would want to do at a voter's meeting.
Well, then, hey, then go to your list. It's okay.
Well, now, you were talking about the state of the economy and how everything's going great. I just wanted to ask you a question. Do you remember when the stock market had its peak, what year that was?
Oh.
The highest place that the Dow Jones has ever been.
Did it go above 11,000 in 98?
It sure did.
And what did it do in a year or two or three after that?
Oh, that was the dot-com bust.
That's correct.
Also, can you tell me the 8 years in U.S. history that had the largest economic expansion and the largest growth in wages for normal working people?
I think it was the 90s.
Sure was. Sure was. And how can you say our economy is doing great? And by the way, James, I just want to let you know that when I bring the facts to you here, I'm only going to use facts that are published by the U.S. government, the Government Office of Accounting, or the Department of Labor, or something like that, so
sure.
You don't think that maybe I'm getting them from some off-the-wall website or progressive think tank.
Nope.
I'm going to use nothing but the damning evidence that's coming out of the Bush administration.
That's fine.
Okay, so let's talk about the lower tenth of wage earners. Their real dollar earnings went down 1.9% last year.
And
inflation went up 2.4%, which is pretty good. It's a pretty good inflation rate. But that basically means 5% at the lower end is a loss in real buying power.
Okay,
now, if we go to the middle class,
hang
James,
on. Greg, I accept that as the truth. But now let's talk about it.
Okay.
So
I got less money in my pocket now than I had 8 years ago. How is that good for me as a consumer?
Tell me about that lower 1%. Did they drop out about sixth grade? Did they smoke dope all through?
These are high school graduates.
Oh.
Uh-huh. And by the way, college graduates' earnings dropped by a little less than a half of 1% last 3 years in a row.
Okay, the lower 1% didn't...
The lower 10% dropped, their wages dropped by 2%, 1.9%.
And what's the point?
The point is that you're saying the economy is great. Well, I can tell you where the earnings went way up. I can tell you who's got more money in their pocket right now, James. That's the top 5% whose earnings went up 8% last year under George Bush. So we're talking about this, how the tax cuts are stimulating the economy.
Yes.
Well, they're not for the working people. They are for the people that buy Hummers. They are for people that need gardeners and little pool boys. But it's not helping wage earners, and this is coming from the Government Accounting Office. Okay, so how is that helping American citizens by taking their wages down and inflation's going up? And I tell you what, James, the figures on inflation for this quarter, with George Bush's wonderful energy policy that was done in secret with Dick Cheney and Ken Lay back in 2001, that's the energy policy we're seeing right now. You don't think these oil men had some idea that perhaps going into Iraq might destabilize the Middle East, that might cause the price of oil to skyrocket as we see it? And golly gee, have you looked at Exxon's balance sheet the last year or so?
Yep, have an article on that in my stack of stuff.
Well, great. So I guess you think that's just great that all of us out here pumping $3 gas, and I hate to even talk about the $87 billion in government subsidies that went to the oil companies last year. $87 billion in government subsidies.
Call back after the top of the hour.
You got it, James.
Thank you. This is KERV 1230 AM and KMBL 1450. We'll be back just in a minute. Now, we got Greg coming back online. Let's welcome him back.
Hey, James, sure appreciate you giving me a place to vent.
Greg, no, you're doing good. You carry on. Now, talk to us about your concerns over the lower economic strata of society.
Well, it kind of looks like to me, I'm not, I kind of guide my political views on common sense. and what I see is really happening out there. And so listening to a pundit on the TV doesn't really make it for me, because you get them on the TV, and who do they interview? They interview another talking head. You know, like one news anchor interviewing another anchor.
Yeah, yeah.
Like these guys are experts,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, I like it.
You know, and I know there's a lot of things you and I agree on,
sure,
James.
Sure.
And like when I think about conservatism, and when I think about the GOP, I think about, do you remember a fellow named Phil Graham?
Yep.
Okay, now I had a lot of problems with Phil Graham. But if I have to say one thing for Phil Graham, he stood up back during the Newt Gingrich revolution, and they came up with a thing called the Graham-Rudman bill.
Yes.
And that pretty much forced Bill Clinton into a certain policy of having to downsize government a little bit.
Yes.
So like we were talking a little earlier about that dot-com bust that took the economy to the tank.
Yes.
Well, in those 2 years, let's just say between 1998 and the year 2000, when the economy took a tank and the Dow went down and the whole dot-com bust happened, somehow, some way, Bill Clinton got $480 billion tax surplus going to pay down on $1 trillion of debt left over from the Ronald Reagan years.
Yeah, it's,
now,
it's,
we haven't made any progress on paying down debt, which was a George Bush pledge.
Yeah. Yeah, this is amazing.
None of that's happened. George Bush
it's amazing.
Is acting like a crack addict with a platinum card.
Absolutely. Greg, you are correct. You are correct on all counts. It is amazing that George Bush is spending us into oblivion. Now, let me show you something that happened. I'm going to tell you it happened, but I'm going to tell you I don't like it. I don't like that this was the only way it could work out. It appears to me that when you had Bill Clinton as president and you had the Republicans controlling the House, then the Republicans acted like what I thought Republicans ought to act like, and that was some modicum of fiscal restraint. So they helped Bill Clinton to cut and curtail some spending. They helped him to pass the welfare reform bill. They helped him to do some things that possibly, had it not been a Republican House, you know, if it had been a Democrat House, the welfare reform would have never come up. They wouldn't have let it be discussed, okay? But what I'm saying to you is, it looks like the only way the Republicans can act like what I think they should act like is if there's a Democrat president.
Well, it's kind of weird because, you know, it's when they did Graham-Rudman, it was pretty bipartisan. I mean, you know, there was Graham, but there was also Rudman on the deal there.
Yes.
But to me, what Gingrich and those guys had in mind was really something beneficial to America.
Yes.
I don't see anything that George Bush has in mind in being beneficial to America.
Well, why do you suppose he's open borders and spending out of control? What do you think's behind that?
Well, I don't know. I hate to sound like a racist or anything, but if everybody's going to go out and get illegal and march in the streets today, well, I just march them into the paddy wagons and throw them back across the border today while we got them all out.
there have been those who say...
They talk. Now, here's another thing. We talk about this huge illegal alien problem. Well, we do have a security problem in this country.
Yes.
And we do have a new world after 9/11. And what I'm wondering is, why does George Bush reduce the spending for the Border Patrol? Why is George Bush reducing spending for first responders? This is not protecting us. Last year, terrorist acts doubled from the year before, and the fatalities tripled. This is not making anybody anywhere in the world safer.
No, and the...
Safer. And I'm from Texas, and I've got a lot of Hispanic friends. And some of their families date back in Texas for generations and generations.
Yeah.
Some of them date back for months.
Yeah.
And they're still good parts of our society. They're hard-working, good people.
Yeah.
And so, basically, what's happening here is we're blaming good, hard-working immigrants from Mexico on something that a bunch of... I hate to say it, Saudi Arabians did to our country. How many terrorists were from Saudi Arabia on 9/11?
I believe
most of them.
15,
I think,
wasn't
like
it?
15 out of 18 of them.
15 out of the 19.
And so what did we do in reprisal? We got George Bush to round them all up on a Gulf Stream and get the whole Bin Laden family out of the country. Now, that doesn't say something. And that's again, I'm just trying to apply common sense. And common sense says to me that the Saudis were behind 9/11 a lot more than Saddam Hussein. But then George Bush and Rumsfeld and Cheney, every sentence, 9/11, Al-Qaeda, Saddam. 9/11, Al-Qaeda, Saddam. And they said it enough that people bought into it. Well, there's no connection, and they knew there was no connection. It's kind of funny, before we went to Iraq, Hans Blix at the UN had been on the ground in Iraq with Scott Ritter and the rest of those guys, for 10 years said, they got no nukes. We've been there. We looked. We checked. George Bush says, yeah, they do. And Hans Blix says, where are they? And Cheney says, well, they're north, south, east, and west of Baghdad. And Hans Blix says, it's kind of funny. You have 100% certainty that they're there and you have 0% certainty of where they are.
Hey, let me ask you, Greg.
You have a problem with that, James?
Greg. What do you think about what's going on right now in Iran with this Ahmadinejad guy building nukes?
He's a nutcase. And you know what you do to a nutcase? You do the same thing that's worked for this country since World War II. It's called containment. You know, basically, the carrot seems to work in world diplomacy much better than the stick.
Boy, he's scary, isn't he?
He is a spooky guy. You know what? I'm sorry, James. Pretty much any kind of fundamentalism scares the hell out of me because they're right and everybody's wrong.
He is.
And they're on a mission from God to take out the heathen.
Yeah.
And depending on what particular religious faction you belong to, the heathen's everybody else. And, you know, since I don't adhere to 1,000 religions, 999 of them think I'm the heathen.
Yeah.
Do you follow me on that?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
A little bit of compromise, a little bit of compassion between people of faith might go a long way instead of all this divisive arguing over how many angels dance on the head of a pin.
True.
You know, and people talk about George Bush's Christian values. My God, what does Jesus have to say about rich people and poor people? And how is George Bush taking those Christian concepts? He's not. It's all about the rich people to George Bush. That's his base. And thank heavens, you know, that George Bush's own party now, you know, if you notice, his ratings have gone from 60% to, say, 32% right now. Well, let's say half of them Republicans. That means he's lost 28% of their own base. His own base is waking up to the fact that they've been had. These guys aren't Republicans. They're a criminal conspiracy that need to be prosecuted under RICO laws. And if DeLay and Nain and Cunningham isn't enough, what's it going to take, y'all? I just don't get it. The GOP needs to take back their own party and put some men in there with some real ethical character. Men that are out, I mean, the whole K Street Project, what's that? It's a one shop for lobbyists. So come on in, leave your check, and we'll take care of your issue.
Right,
and I'm
Greg,
not saying the Democrats don't do it. I'm from Texas. I remember when this was a yellow dog Democrat state.
Greg, we're out of time. Hey, I appreciate your call. I appreciate
your
input.
Thank you, James. I appreciate your voice.
You stay tuned, and you come call on us anytime you want to. Thank you for your input.
Thank you, James.
All right, we got to go to break.
Hey, y'all.